Morning, everybody. I want to welcome you and everybody joining us online, Nacogdoches Groves, Mount Enterprise, Iglesia. So glad to have everybody. Let's welcome each other to church this morning. We continue on in a series on parenting, and truth be told, not everybody is parents. Not everybody is got a good relationship with their kids or their kids with their parents. But really, the whole goal of this message series is to, number one, not make you a better parent, but for you to seek out the greatest parent. Our Heavenly Father loves you. If you can see yourself like a child, you'll truly see Him as a father and a good father. And these services are not the source. These services are resources. And TC Youth and Timber Creek Kids are all resources, but we go to God for the source. But we also want to provide you some good resources. And if you go to timbercreekchurch.com/parent-resources, we've curated some help along the way that this sermon series is really just a drop into the lake with some ripples. And there you can find a long page of different resources available to you that you can purchase and others that are free to you. I'll tell you, this is one of my favorite books on parenting right here by Paul Tripp. In fact, it's been a seminal source in a lot of the message content. And so I want to invite you to take advantage of those things. We're going to jump in today, and we'll jump into our message notes in just a moment. But have you ever been in a conversation with someone, and the speed at which they're telling a story, it strongly contradicts and pushes against your need to go. Anybody ever been there? Some of you were concerned. You thought I was having a seizure. I know. Like, it's okay. I get it. The tension in the room already, just by slowing down to 0.75, is crazy. And you know as well as I do, there are people in your life that you got to say, slow down. And others, you're like, you're looking past them. You can't help but like, okay. Thank you. You got to go. We deal with that, don't we? It's not in your notes, but you can write some of these thoughts down, and we're going to set the bedrock for today's message. Every family and every person has a pace. Every person has 168 hours in their week, but the pace at which we approach those hours is different from one family or one person to the next. The people that take a certain pace look at those with a faster or slower pace, and there's a very easy way for us to become Judgy McJudgingtons to their pace. And then we see our own pace, and sometimes we wonder, is this the pace we should be at? Should we be going faster? Should we be going slower? Every family has a pace, and every family has limits. The same way that when you drive a vehicle, if it has a dashboard, which it should, when you see the speedometer, it's not just the speedometer, but also the RPMs. And you can see how if the motor is turning, it is so many thousands of RPMs, it can get into a red line. That's not there for you to mean red means like really, really, really awesome. Red means, woo, watch it, easy. Careful, it can go up to that pace, but it can't sustain that pace for very long without something possibly going wrong. Everybody has pace. Everybody has limits. Margin is the space between my pace and my limits. I have margin on the stage right now in three other locations, including also online and then with Duncan and Dieball units. We have a certain space within the camera. And if I step too far off, I run over the edge and I disappear. There is some tape on either side that helps me keep my margins. There's a front of this stage, and the closer I get to the edge of this stage and I lose breathing room and I lose my margin, the closer I put my feet on the edge of this margin, for those that can't see, it's not that big of a deal. But maybe for those that the more I get my feet off, the more you're not even thinking about what I'm talking about, and the less I'm even thinking about what I'm talking about, and the more I'm thinking about knee surgery and falling off and keeping balance. When I lose margin, my mind can go crazy. My mind can get focused on all sorts of things. Today, I want to talk to you about a big problem. It's a big problem. It's a big problem in you and me, in all generations. It's also a big parenting problem. And I believe it is a keystone issue that causes a whole lot of behavioral challenges in all of us, a whole lot of stress in all of us, a whole lot of suffering in all of us. And it's not about, like we learned last week, it's not really about the behavior. Behind every behavior, there's a condition that creates behavior. That's what we want to talk about today. Margin is constantly bombarded by hurry. Gotta go, gotta go, gotta go. Hustle, hustle, hustle. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Gotta be late. I mean, we can barely stand it when the Wi-Fi isn't fast enough. Signals coming out of your phone that's in your pocket to space, hitting a satellite in space, coming back down from space back to your phone so you can download an episode of your show on your phone, and you don't like it because you're in a hurry because you waited the last minute before you're boarding the plane and you don't want to just sit there with your thoughts. You're bombarded by hurry. Thought about this last week and was reminded of an old classic sitcom, I Love Lucy, in A Moment of Hurry. Check it out.
All right, girls, now this is your last chance. If one piece of candy gets past you and into the packing room unwrapped, you're fired.
Yes, ma'am.
Let her roll!
Well, this is easier.
Yeah, we can handle this, okay?
What's ironic is in between services, I said, that feels a little long. Is there a way we can shut that down a little bit? Because we got stuff to do, you know? We need to hurry that clip up. In this kingdom, the kingdom that we live in, that we all are trying to figure out, we are in this world, but as a Christ follower, not of this world, but in this kingdom, hurry is rewarded. for us to go faster, make it quicker, we are rewarded in hurry. The reason we know that is because the opposite of hurry feels to us is slow. It's not slow, but the opposite that we think of hurry is slow. And when we think of slow, we think of slow as bad. We don't buy a car because of how slow it can go. We don't go through the drive-through because we just enjoy it going really, really slow. We don't check Wi-Fi and buy the Wi-Fi that is slow. We want hurry. We like hurry. We're addicted to hurry. And there's a fundamental driver that kind of cranks up the hamster inside your wheel. The fundamental driver that makes this thing happen is not another checklist, is not all of the responsibilities at work, all the responsibilities at home, the grocery list, the cleaning list, the to-do list, the financial list, all of the fundamental drivers of a hurried life really can be boiled down to this keystone hamster on all of our wheels, and it is fear. And it's not just for every life, it is for every family. Every hurried family deals with fear. And here's three ways it fleshes out. Fear of missing out, FOMO. I don't want our kids to miss out on these opportunities. I don't want to miss out on these opportunities. We have the fear of falling behind. I want our kids to have the same advantages, and if we don't show up and this person, like, we've got to make sure we keep rolling as fast as everybody else keeps rolling and doing what everybody else keeps doing, because only, like, the fast will truly survive, not just the strong. The fear of not measuring up. I mean, what would it say to us if we say no and we say, we're going to take a break? What does that say? What will people think of our parenting? What will people think of our kids? What will people think of me if I say, I would love to attend. It just has to be a no for me today. Well, why? What do you got going on? Nothing. But we have that fear. We don't want to let people down. Okay, we don't want to fall behind. We don't want to not measure up. And I know this is the case of humanity, even in the Garden of Eden. It's veiled, but it's there. They were so innocent, they didn't have to be rushed for anything. They were responsible to work. Work was a beautiful thing, not a bad thing. Work existed before the fall of man. It's not a sin. It's a beautiful thing, a way to worship God. I mean, they didn't even have to get up and get themselves dressed. They had all the time in the world, naked and unashamed, bless God. And yet the enemy says, did God really say, which by the way, the very first question in the Bible is from the enemy, and questions have power. We'll learn that in a moment. Did God really say, you can't do that? And all of a sudden, because the fruit looked good, was pleasing, they didn't want to miss out on that luscious fruit. Because they wanted to measure up to God, they wanted to be as wise as God, they didn't want to fall behind, they took the fruit, they ate. And their rush to judgment, their hurriedness to want to be the final authority for their life got them to miss out on what was really, really meant for them. And so the results of a driving, high-paced, minimal margin life, you know it and I know it, because hurriedness is not looked upon in this culture as bad. It's looked upon this culture as a badge. It's not bad. It's a badge. We're going 10X. We're going to make it happen. Let's go. And I am a huge advocate. I'm a huge advocate for winning the day. I go, 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 go. And I need to slow, low, 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 low. I do. This is an issue for me. I'm not preaching from a platform of getting it figured out. I'm preaching from a vulnerability today. Because what I have experienced, you will experience, and we all experience, the result of hurried lives, you know it, stress levels go up. When you wake up a few minutes late, and you're having to get the kids around or you're having to get to work, you are not waking up saying, good morning, God. Spouse, are you good? Can I get you anything? You're like, ah! And you got to go, 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 go. We got to get the kids. Get the kids. Go to get to this. You're eating an Egg McMuffin. You're trying to read them the spelling test. You're getting in line. You're passing cars. Going through the red light. No, it wasn't red. It wasn't red, Dad. It was red. Shut up. Don't disrespect me. Your stress levels go up. And when your stress levels go up, your relationships do not get better. Your relationships suffer. Every single relationship suffers when you're dealing with higher stress. And I'm going to tell you, it's not that you have stress or don't have stress. It's how you think about it and then how you manage that. I'm just too stressed. My job is stressful. I can't help it. Well, maybe you need to really consider what you're saying. Maybe you have chosen a path that now you need to evaluate. Is this the level of stress I'm okay with having the rest of my life? And take enough time instead of just jumping into the hurriness of that job or jumping into the hurriness of this expectation and that we slow down enough, because stress levels go up and your relationships suffer. So what happens? In the goal and the hope of getting more out of life, we want more. There's more. We want more. And even Timber Creek Church, it's like this is almost a paradox to our very mission. Your God-given potential is our mission. And you can experience it and you can go for it, but what we have to understand, and it's not about doing, hurrying, and becoming more like God. Hurry. It's letting God set the pace of your life and changing you from the inside out. Man, we don't like that, because the hopes of getting more out of life, we lose control of life. And let me tell you what you and I are addicted to: control. We are addicted to having the final say, to being the final authority, to knowing, don't tell me I can't walk on the grass. This is America. Don't tell me I can't park. I know it says guest parking. I've been paying my tithes here for months. I'm gonna park wherever I jolly well please. A control issue and an entitlement issue and a dumb attitude, by the way. And I already took down the license plates. No, I'm kidding. I didn't. I haven't even looked. You know who you are. I don't. But this is funny. It really is. The tension some of you are feeling right now. I love you. No pressure. It's okay. You can park here today. Here's the truth. Okay, write it down. Something or someone's going to determine the limits I live by. Something or someone is going to determine your limits. It's going to be that baseball coach. It's going to be the spouse. It's going to be that you've not built financial margin in your life, and so of course you have to work extra hours because you have lost all margin, and living on 102% of your money causes you to have to do nothing but work more and more and more. And then the church starts talking about giving, and you're like, you need to get your hand out of my wallet when it's all God's anyway. And he says, I'm not even asking you to have 50% margin. Can you create like a 10% margin for me? Where you give the first of your finances to me and tithe, I will help you with the rest of the 90%. But we're like, I don't need that. I'm not going to give God margin. Give God tithe. It is what it is. And it's tough. It's tough. Something or someone is going to determine the limits we live by. Let me suggest to you who that someone should be. It starts with a J, and it ain't Jeremy. And thank God it ain't Janet. It's Jesus. Jesus is that someone who is the breath of life. He is the source of your strength. He loves you and he sees your hurried soul. So what? So you can have another zero. We are such in a hurry. Why won't our kids learn this lesson and grow up? until you turn around and you say, oh my God, how did they grow up so fast? There is no place in Scripture where Jesus was in a hurry. And if you want to talk about someone who had a big job to do, the Son of the living God descending from heaven in form of a man to live a perfect life, to be sinless, to cast vision for a greater kingdom. And he chooses not the brightest bulbs in the pack, everybody. I mean, he chose roughneck sailors and tax collectors, not like your creme of the top. Like, it's not like the whipped cream here, okay? And he had to get the message into them and his spirit into them so they could cast. And he had 33 and a half years to do it. Why didn't he start at 17 instead of 30? What was taking him so long? I mean, come on! But the Gospels that give the account of Jesus, even in the crazy moments, Mark 1:16 says, Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee. I mean, he's raising the dead. He's feeding thousands with a Happy Meal. He's making bottles of water into bottles of wine. I mean, like, the dude is busy. Yet, through the Sea of Galilee, he takes a nap in the middle of the storm instead of saying, hurry, row, row. He was never in a rush. He walked slowly through the crowd. It's something I encourage our team and our dream teams to do on Sunday mornings, and sometimes we don't bat a thousand. Where instead of being so busy on a Sunday morning, like, there's a lot of things to get done, a lot of needs that come up in the middle of it, to slow down enough and walk slowly through the crowd and just see what God wants to do. This is Mark describing Jesus, but if Janet were to write a gospel about Jeremy, the son of the living Terry Yancey, her gospel account of Janet 1:16 would sound like Jeremy could hardly sit still without his leg bouncing up and down. He frantically ran to and fro and needs to chilleth thyself. And all the kids and my spouse said, yes, amen. There's no place in Scripture where Jesus was in a hurry. Now let's add on to it. Let's throw the trump card down. The two greatest commands that Jesus gives. Two greatest commands. Love me with everything. Love me with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love me. And out of that love, the second one is like it. Love your, say it again, love your as you love your. Yeah. Both have to do with love. Love God, love people. The two greatest commands. The best form of truly loving people is when you understand the love of God. You also understand the margins of God, the limits of God, the cadence of God, the rhythm of God. The better we can understand loving God, it helps us love people, and Jesus wasn't in a hurry. And when we go to the Apostle Paul, who wrote the love chapter, which isn't just some, you know, cute, whimsical thing we will read every once in a while at a wedding, it's the word of God. The Apostle Paul describes love in action. And the very first word he uses to describe love, he says, love is the loneliest. No, that's one. That's one is the loneliest number. Love is what? What's the very first word he uses? It is, I know you don't like it. I don't like it. Patient. Love is patient. Patience is one of the keystone habits of a mercy-giving parent. But we just aren't patient these days. You know why? Because we're hurried. Because we're running. Write it down. If love is patient, love and hurry are utterly incompatible. I cannot love my kids and love my spouse and love you if I'm always in a hurry. It doesn't work. It won't work. It won't translate. Well, you just got to know that daddy's just busy. You just got to know that mom's just busy. They will know. It won't translate. You have to slow down enough to make sure that the most important things are the most important things. So in this kingdom, hurry is rewarded. This kingdom, hurry is good. And we wear it like a bad, oh man, I'm just so busy. Oh man, you're telling me. Yeah, I had to work 60 hours. Oh, I had to work 68 hours. Oh, well, yeah, but I think it was actually 72. Well, I think it was actually 75. When he goes, blah. And so what we're called to do is this. You can live if you want. Everybody listen to me. If you want to live any way you want to live, you can live both feet firmly planted in this kingdom, and you can get ahead in this kingdom standards. You won't ever live with both feet in his kingdom until the other side of eternity. But because of his spirit that lives inside of us, we have the capacity to live in this world, but not of this world, in this kingdom, but his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we can have supernatural ability, supernatural grace, sufficient grace to be able to navigate the tension between this kingdom and his kingdom. And so if hurry is rewarded in this kingdom, and I said the opposite of hurry is slow, let me show you what the opposite of hurry is in his kingdom. Write it down. In his kingdom, rest is rewarded. Rest is the opposite. God's opposite of hurry. Jesus makes it clear. Matthew, he says, come to me, all you are weary and burdened. I'm going to give you a way to 10x your life. I'll give you rest. And here's what's crazy about it. If you will trust him in this, he adds all the other things. But it don't make sense to you because you're thinking this kingdom, not his kingdom. He does more when you rest and honor him and thank him for loving you deeply and loving him back deeply. He can do more with your life if you take time to resituate the loves of your heart and learn how to rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. You have learned enough copying the behaviors and customs of this world. And I get it. This is a sermon to me today. So write it down. My willingness to create margin in my life, some breathing room in my life, is an exercise of trust. When we hurry, we inadvertently are saying to God, we don't trust you. Do you know what trust is? It's answering this question. Trust is answering this question. Am I safe? When I trust you, can I trust you to hold this in confidence? I'm saying my words are safe with you. Can I trust you to drive my kids to school and back? Can I trust you to, I'm asking, are they safe? Trust is the foundation of almost every, it is the foundation of every single relationship. This is why adultery isn't the hardest thing to get over in a marriage. It's the broken trust that the adultery creates. Because I used to be able to trust you and just lean into you. But now I have to question everything. You're 3 minutes late and I have to question you because I don't know if I trust you anymore. Do we really trust that God could do more with the 90% of our finances than the 100? That's hard. It's hard. Man, it's hard. Do we trust that if I didn't have my kids all involved in absolutely everything, that he would be able to come up with? Maybe he would provide enough that they wouldn't have to get that particular grade only to qualify for this and that and the other 19 programs. Maybe. So where do we start? Or how do we restart? Let's start here. It starts with eyesight and insight. You got to look at your calendar. You got to look at your time. You got to look at the edge of your own stage of humanity, your own stage of family, your own stage of your emotional health, the own stage of your stress levels and your relationships. And you've got to determine, am I really happy with the kind of margin I have? You got to see it. Then you want to invite Jesus to give you insight, spirit-guided insight on how to approach this one step at a time. And I can tell you as parents, let me just tell you, this starts with questions. Write this down. Insightful parents don't have great answers. You want to be an insightful parent, it's not about how you having all the answers all the time. Trust me, because you don't, and I don't, and I didn't, and I haven't. Let me tell you how it starts. Insightful parenting, insightful parents craft good questions. They craft good questions because it's questions that begin to reveal. Better question gets a better, clear answer. How was school today?
Fine.
Come on, answer. Well, ask a better question. Ask a better question. Don't just give me fine. Don't just give me, yeah. It's good. I already told you it's good. I want you to think about your day. What are three moments in your day that you laughed out loud today? It's amazing what you can learn. Hey, who are the three people that sit around you at lunch? Tell me about them. What do you like about them? Is there anything that rubs you the wrong way? Interesting. Better question gets a better answer. And I want to tell you something, parents. It is not you being the answer man. That's fear. That's fear. My kids aren't going to get what they need from me. Insight asks questions, and it reveals the heart of your children. And Jesus gives you what you need when you need it to address the heart of your kids. Questions can soften the heart of a child. Look at what Jesus did because of fear of missing out, fear of not getting rewarded, fear of not measuring up. Adam and Eve, they have to hurry and hide. Hurry. So I don't know how quick they learned Martha Stewart lessons, sewing themselves fig leaves to cover their nakedness, hiding behind a tree because God showed up every, you know how fast they had to go because God walked with them every day. God walked with them every day. So they had to hurry and hide. And what does God show? God shows up in the garden, pushes over some trees, says, what in the world, what in the name of me is going on here? No. What does he do? He says, here's what he says. He says, where are you? Whew. He asks a great question. Friends, when it comes to margin, where are you? They come out. We were naked and we were afraid, so we hid. We were in fear. Who told you you were naked? Does God know the answer? Parents, stop being answer man, answer woman. Slow down. You can't ask questions if you're just go. Questions and conversations. I don't mean rhetorical questions. What were you thinking? I'll tell you what you were thinking. You weren't thinking. Slow down. Questions and conversations. Parenting is one long conversation. Why won't they learn? Because it's one long conversation. They just haven't learned yet. God has given you an opportunity to develop spirit-filled patience with them so that you can give them mercy. Because is there anybody on the face of the planet, above heaven and below heaven, on earth and below earth, that has been more patient with you than your heavenly Father? He's been so merciful with you because he's been so patient with you. So, five questions to get you started today. Guess what? Just cross it all out. I don't got time in this message to even give it to you. I don't got time. Guess when I made that decision? This morning when I was finishing up saying, I'm talking about hurry and I'm gonna have to hurry through this message and fit a rhino into a shoebox on a sermon here. So here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna go to Jesus. We gotta slow down. And you struggle and I struggle even in church. In a few moments, I'm gonna say, would you stand with me, but stay where you are? And some of you, you're like, forget that, I gotta hurry. No, my schedule is more important, I gotta go. And to be honest with you, that's a distraction. Like slow down, slow down. You can't help but think what's next. Just slow down and be in this moment and let Jesus meet you right where you are because he loves you and he is hosting you in this moment. Consider this room a large dining room table and he has invited you. He's scooted out a chair and wants you to come sit with him for just a moment. You can approach his throne of grace with confidence and you can receive mercy in this moment. So I want to give you two questions today. I'm just going to put them up there, both of them. Jesus, what needs to be added and increased in my life? What's missing that needs to be added and increased? I need to slow down and spend more time with my kids. I need to take a few minutes at bedtime and just sit on the edge of their bed and rub their back. Husbands, listen to me. If you would just take a moment this week, wives, don't listen to me. Don't listen to me, because then if I tell them to do this and then they do it and then you say, you're just doing this just because the pastor said do it. Don't do that. Just receive it. They're trying and they're training, okay? One night this week, just lay down in bed. Now, if she's already asleep, don't try to get her attention. That ever doesn't work out. But if she's awake, gentlemen, just put your hand over there. Grab her hand. Hey, is there anything you've been worrying about lately? And just see what she says. No, I feel pretty good, or yeah, this. And then you just be a godly man without many answers, without many words. And you just say, God, help her not be so worried. Kiss her on the cheek and don't ask for anything else. But slow down. Jesus, is there anything that needs to be subtracted or decreased? I heard this from some friends of ours just a couple days ago. They saw it on TikTok, of all places. TikTok theology, here you go. They said, next time you hug your kids, don't be the first to let go and see how long they stand there and let you hug them. And that came to my mind this morning when I saw your campus pastor upstairs early in the morning. Pastor Justin and Whitney said goodbye to Whitney's dad yesterday. He had suffered a long time with cancer and passed away. Justin propped open my door, said, you need anything from me today, Chief? I said, yeah, come here. And that moment hit me. And I just hugged Justin. And it's the longest hug I've ever had with another guy. He cried and I cried. But I wouldn't have saw that, wouldn't have seen that, wouldn't have had time for that if I'm just in a hurry. So would you, all locations, please stand where you are, but stay where you are. I'm gonna give you some of your time back today. Walk slow through the halls. Ask people some questions. What are you excited about? Anything you got planned for later that you're looking forward to this summer? What's been on your mind? How can I be praying for you? Friends, life is short. It's a vapor. Do not hurry it. Can I pray over you? Would you close your eyes, Father? We need you. We're just so busy. Would you show us what we need to add? But God, we can't add anything unless we're willing to subtract or decrease something. May we master in what matters most. You first. Everything else after that. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen.